Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Oh yeah, welcome to episode 118 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, man. A lot going on, and we're going to cover a lot of it right here in this episode, which is brought to you, as always, by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Get all your needs over there met, all your preparedness needs, that is. And right now, I think we have all got to be in a preparedness mindset like nobody's business. But if you would like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there. And in addition to that, if you would like, you can drop some sats on your friendly neighborhood pimp. And remember, PIMP stands for permaculture is my passion. So with that said, son, we're going to jump right into the farm news, which, you know, there's a lot of strange things going on around here. And why don't you go ahead and start with the tech side of it, and then I'll pick it up on the other side because it is part of the farm news.
So the last episode, episode 117, as soon as we're done recording, I hit export, which basically renders every single file. So my mic, dad's mic, the Bluetooth, sound pads, USB, TRSS, which I think is a computer. I'm not even sure. But it takes all that and turns it into one file. In that file, that file was completely uploaded to Audio Boom as soon as we were done. And then I think it was live to you guys maybe 5 to 10 minutes after. I take that file and I use the same one for the YouTube video because the audio quality is better than the camera right here. But for some reason in the file now, there's no soundboard sounds. There's no Bluetooth sounds. The only thing picking up is our mics. I don't even know. Like, if I were to take the file and do that, I don't even know how to do that, like, myself. So I don't know how that file would be missing the soundboard music and the Bluetooth sounds after the fact. Whenever, like, on the podcast, on the episode 118, if you're listening to the podcast, all that stuff is there. I only have one version of this file. Or 117, yeah. I only have one version of this file, so I don't understand how that's even possible.
Long story short, y'all, I know he's throwing out a lot of technical stuff that a lot of people are not going to understand. We're having weird, strange anomalies, not only right there at this computer, but also in every other area. And I'm a person that's really good at patterns. Always have been. It's what I'm really good at. I can see patterns where if everybody's got a superpower, well, that one just happens to be mine. And it can work in a lot of different ways. You know, you hear inconsistencies in a person, or maybe you see patterns in how things work in nature, whatever the case may be. And I can tell you, ever since I had something to say about the USS Liberty, that I kid you not, Ever since I did that program, talked about the USS Liberty, a bunch of patterns emerged. Number one, banking started getting played with. Emails started getting played with. YouTube, well, they put us even further down in the no man's land on YouTube.
We're in the bottom of the hole.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's people with like maybe 2,000 subscribers got more views on videos. I mean, it all happened the moment I talked about the USS Liberty. Now, once again, folks, look it up for yourself. Look at what happened. Don't look at the official versions. Look at the occulted history and all this stuff.
To simplify the like what happened with this audio file, it's the same as if mom made chocolate chip cookies. We go down there, we eat some chocolate chip cookies, and they're amazing. Everything, all the components are in there. We leave, we go back and eat some more chocolate to eat more chocolate chip cookies, and all the chocolate chips are out of the cookie somehow. That's the equivalent of what is happening with this audio.
Well, it's not just the audio. I mean, he's perplexed by that, but also every single thing. I mean, they're playing with our banking, they're playing with our money, they're playing with all kinds of stuff, y'all. And this is what happens when you decide to stick your head above ground. I'm not complaining. I mean, I know full well, look, at the end of the day, I know full well that doing the right thing, just as long as I've always taught you this, that doing the right thing doesn't mean you keep your job.
Well, it would be
doing the right thing.
It would be awfully awkward if YouTube started promoting us.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though, you know, it would be, there's going to be something that we do probably coming up pretty soon that ought to, by every metric, should go viral. We're not doing it for that reason. We're doing it for another reason, just like we kind of aimed our ire at the, you know, at the people that this naked thing where, you know, there's one woman in particular, like I said, the naked gardener, and you can sit here and cloak whatever saying, oh, I'm being artistic or whatever. Look, okay, I know what you're really doing. Everybody knows what you're really doing.
Which she makes very good videos outside of that, as far as like artistic type storytelling videos. Like they're entertaining to watch outside of the garbage that's pulled.
Well, it's not just her. There's a bunch of other deep ones that do that sort of thing, and it's usually somebody selling sex. So it was basically, it was satire, you know, on that. But we're going to do satire in another way as well, because number one, it's fun. And number two, honestly, it's, you know, maybe some of these folks just need a little bit of ribbing from time to time. But I am here to tell you, emails are screwed up, banking screwed up, sales are screwed up. Every single part of it is all screwed up, and it all happened the moment I talked about the USS Liberty and who actually did it, because it's not in your history books. Most decorated, think about this, the most decorated vessel in the history of our U.S. Navy, and nobody's ever heard about it.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever heard about it, the whole story, who did it on purpose, and like I said, since that day, everything has dropped off. So if you're wondering what's happening, if you're wondering why we got some technical difficulties or whatever the case may be, look, I'm just going to double down. I mean, I'm not playing this game. I was looking for a job when I found this one. So unlike a lot of other folks out there that have to do this in order to pay the bills, I ain't one of them. So if it means at the end of the day that they put us in no man's land, well, like I said, I mean, I got plan B all the way down to Z, and it's just the way it's going to be. Yeah. I did not mean for that to rhyme.
Other farm news, I just did an interview with the Texas boys over at the Fearless podcast. They just started their own podcast. You heard our interview with them, was it Wednesday? But I just did an interview with them, and I think it is definitely already out now.
I can't find it.
I'll try to link it down below. I sent you a link to it. I sent Mom a link.
It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. So speaking of suppression, those guys.
Yeah, boy, you talk about, man. I mean, it's in good company though, because those guys are also, I sat there and told them, hey man, you know, podcast may be another way to get the word out. And then here it is right after I talk about it, look what happens to us. So, Texas boys, my bad. I mean, just like us, I mean, they are definitely, it just aggravates me what they're doing to them, where they're going to leave them right at 99,000 and just leave them hover around there for a while. And look, y'all, it's not an equal playing field. We all know that. I'm not complaining. I expected this to happen 50,000 subscribers ago.
Yeah, well, actually, I remember there was one video we did at 14,000 where we were like, yeah, this is going to be it.
Yeah, there was a couple of times, but those guys have been suppressed. I mean, Texas boys, they've been hit with, I mean, you're doing this, you're doing that, and then you can go to Rumble, and there's been some complaints I've heard over at Rumble.
Yeah.
The way the algorithms work, I mean, it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. I'm still trying to make sense of.
If you're not sponsored by them, or if you haven't signed like a deal exclusively with them, they're not going to promote you, because they owe quite a lot of money, I imagine, to some of the people that they've signed.
Well, they got Dan Bongino and some of the others out there. I mean, and a lot of the podcasters I know of, they can't even use YouTube in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Seth Holhouse is one of them.
Well, he does, but only some episodes.
Yeah, and it's rare, and he probably gets almost no views from it. But there's a lot of them over there that are exclusively using Rumble. We use Brighteon also. Or I think we do.
No, the podcast is not on Brighteon. Okay, no, because the file size is way too large.
Okay. So then we're still using that. So everybody, to a certain extent, is sharecropping on the YouTube plantation. And we're looking to make other... So, folks, if you don't find us, I mean, for some reason, wherever, hopefully one of those other platforms. I didn't mean to spend so much time on this, but I really kind of felt like I had to, because we are, I mean, like everybody else out there who has got anything to say. And the reason, look, it's not just us. It's not just the Texas boys, which if you haven't checked them out, go check them out. Definitely on YouTube.
The Fearless Podcast.
Yeah, check them out on, you know, they got a YouTube channel called the Texas Boys, and their podcast is Fearless, the Fearless Podcast. Now, it ain't just us. It's not just them. It's anybody out there, because I've been checking around and I've been listening. I mean, other people, even on Twitter, everybody goes on about how Elon Musk is this and that. Well, it's still being, the scales are being weighed on Twitter. So
I also have another theory about this potentially. What if they're quietly getting rid of the dead internet? You know,
okay, I heard that theory. Yeah.
So YouTube, like you get 4,000, one person could potentially produce 4 views per video. What if they're getting rid of that aspect? What if they're getting rid of some of the bots that automatically visit some of these pages?
My vote's going to be for, I know, and folks, I'm not trying to get too dark too early, but I'm willing to bet that the powers that shouldn't be right now know full well that something's about to jump off. We're doing everything humanly possible to try and start World War III. And if it doesn't happen, it could be like 9/11, where we just, you know, create our own crisis. And, you know, one way or another, they're going to try to get what, and sadly, there is no lie the American public won't believe. So I think that those of us who are dissenting voices out there, and, you know, I don't have a problem with Dan Bongino, but if anything he reports, Mike Adams or Alex Jones or any number of others talked about it 2 months earlier.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, he gets a wide open platform. But like I said, I'm glad you come to these conclusions 2 months after everybody else talked about them.
Yeah. I think, I was going to ask you, do you think that this is going to actually ever turn kinetic, or it's going to be another 30-year Cold War?
Well,
because it seems like there's a higher benefit in making it a Cold War and just keeping people in perpetual fear.
It could, but they're in a bind right now. It's, you know, there was a guy that once wrote, you can rob and kill a man only once, but you can steal from him again and again. And knowing what I know about history and how things unfold, we have a confluence of so many different things all happening at the same time. I could get really, really dark right now, but I could really spend this entire hour monologuing regarding your question.
Well, people want that to happen, Dad.
Well, they do, but we came on here with a certain set of things we were going to discuss, and honestly, it's going to be a better help to you, to many of you out there, based on what we're saying right now. But to your point, the bottom line is we have financial systems that are falling apart. We have too many people. Right now, latest figures I heard from some of the people I trust is we got enough food next year for about 4 billion people. Well, we got 7 billion on the planet. So 300 billion or 3 billion are going to starve.
Now, hold on. Before you go any further, because somebody's going to make a comment about this, you aren't the one saying that there's too many people.
No, right? No. No, in fact, I'm 100%. I know that permaculture could feed every single body on this planet times 20. I know that for a fact. We have everything we need. We're just not employing any of it. And that's pretty evident by what we're pulling off these trees right now in terms of a harvest.
Yeah.
I mean, we could feed just at this farm, good night. I don't even know how many people.
But without getting off sidetracked.
But going back to your point, right now, with what we know, we got corn crops, we got wheat crops that are basically coming in flat. India, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. 40% of the world's rice comes from India. That just went away. They're saving it for themselves, and they're not even sure they got enough to feed them. And then in Russia, Ukraine. Okay, what was Ukraine historically known as? Breadbasket. Okay. Yeah. So you got all these different things falling apart at the same time, and the oblivious masses out here are still going about their regular everyday tasks. Well, the powers that shouldn't be know that they can't feed based on what the numbers are right now. Beef prices are going to be through the doggone roof by every estimation by winter. So take all these confluences and put them together. Son, if you read the work, and I'm going to be very, very careful about what I say here. If you read the work of historians, real historians like Anthony Sutton, like Eustace Mullins, and a number of others, G. Edward Griffin, if you look at their history and then you look at some of what's been collated just on World War I, like I said before, there is no official history of World War I that makes any sense other than the history that is provided by people like Anthony Sutton, who, by the way, got into the secret records over there at, out in California. I can't think of the university right now, but basically got into all the secret records, wrote these tell-all books for everybody out there to see, but nobody reads them anymore. And he basically chronicles, he and all the period, and his contemporaries all chronicle that the whole reason we had World War I was so the people in Europe could trim the fat, so to speak.
Wow.
No, dead serious. And yeah. World War II was really an extension of World War. The Treaty of Versailles only assured that we were going to have a World War II. You look at the same history written by the same people I cited, everything we know about World War II was a complete lie, and yet it was another example of trimming the fat. So here we are once again. This World War III could be the best way for the powers that shouldn't be to trim the fat and then also usher in, we got this ChatGPT, we got all these other things out there that can do the jobs of so many people and do them in an unbelievable fashion. I proved it to your mom yesterday. We were sitting outside the bakery, which, by the way, I didn't need any yet, but we're sitting outside the bakery and your mom's like, well, she said something regarding that. I said, let me pull it up real quick. And I did something, and she was floored by how it unfolded as far as ChatGPT. So, folks, we went into a whole series of things here that was not intended. But the point being, this whole show today and all the others, preparedness, permaculture, and practical living, that's what we do. This whole thing is coming apart. I know you hear this every other day, but it's like the more dreadful the news becomes, the more scandals we realize in the White House, the more people care less.
Yeah, I agree.
I am sitting here and I'm like, okay, there is a full court press on this farm to get as prepared as we possibly can, because you don't need to be Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce to figure out what's about to happen. Okay, I hope I'm 100% wrong, but I'd be a doggone fool to sit here and think I was.
Yeah.
Based on what I see right now. So I'm not in here, folks. I want to make this very clear. By no means am I sitting here lamenting fearfully and none of those things. It's not happening. I know that I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing as best I can. And I'm even carving out a little bit of time for Michelle and I to actually get the necessary recovery that we need regarding certain things. I'm trying to make sure that my health and that of my family is in tip-top shape, that if there are any outliers out there that we need corrected, that I'm working on them right now. That's why I've worked on the tactical fasting. That's why I'm working on canning. That's why I'm growing these orchards. That's why I'm putting all this information out here. That's why I'm trying to evangelize this stuff to the entire world. And that's exactly why they need to suppress us. So, with that said, that isn't a dramatic pause, y'all. I'm waiting. I'm not even telling you a fraction of what it is I want to say right now. Because frankly, I'm not sure a whole lot of people are really listening anymore. And maybe the powers that shouldn't be want us to believe that nobody's listening. Because frankly, I got one email. So one person's out there listening to us.
From what was it before? Like, what was it before USS Liberty?
Before the USS Liberty, there were so many emails that I couldn't get to them all.
Yeah.
And now we have literally one email, at least on my end. There might be two in there hiding. But that is why I'm doing this, y'all. I'm not doing it because it's not like we're getting paid to do this. It's not like we make money doing this. I am trying to be the town crier to anybody that will listen out there. I've been at this a long, long time. Unlike the Johnny's Come Lately out there on YouTube who are selling fear and get these five things or you're going to die. I've been at this thing for 25 years, y'all. I've been doing this 25 years. Not just on the weekends or when I feel like it, every single day. This is what we do. This is what we've been doing. And then when I see all these idiots out here on YouTube, and that's what a lot of them are, they're opportunistic. And you know what? That's what our next parody is going to be about. I'm going to put some of these people on blast, and I dare you to have a problem with it. Because any day of the week, I know what I'm talking about, and I know you don't. You ain't going to tell me that you have a background as a used car salesman or a background as an undertaker, and you know all about preparedness when you never done it a day in your life. I'm going to put you people on blast, and I'm going to have fun doing it.
It's going to be funny doing it.
Yeah, I'm going to have fun doing it. We're going to do it like we did that one video, and we're just going to have fun. I mean, I know things are grim, but I can still laugh at the same time. You know, they didn't steal my sense of humor. But at the end of the day, I don't care if I got to go out there and put my tools back on. At the end of the day, nobody is going to shut me down.
On a lighter note, Dad, what do you finish tomorrow?
Okay, yeah. All right, so that's a way to make a transition. All right, so tomorrow's my last day of 75 hard, and I got... It's kind of bittersweet. So for those that don't know, because I'm sure we got some new people in there that haven't yet emailed, but so 75 hard, basically for 75 days, you got to do a series of five things every single day without question. Got to work out twice, 45 minutes each, one inside, one outside. You got to read 10 pages of a book, which is in no way a challenge for me. You got to drink a gallon of water and you got to take a picture every single day. Now, in addition to that 75 hard, I think this is important. It wasn't what I intended to cover. In fact, none of this was. But like I was telling your mom, I've learned a whole lot about myself. In fact, more than any other challenging thing I've ever done in my life. Because I didn't just do 75 hard. I kicked it up even more. I put in a fasting regimen while still doing 75 hard. And what I've learned from that, and we've talked about it briefly in the podcast, is I realize I don't have to be a slave to food like I have been in the past based on how I grew up. I don't have to be a slave to food. I can push the plate away. I can literally go without eating and say, you know what? You know, I remember that time where it was daunting for me to note the notion of fasting for 24 hours. Now I can do it without even sleeping, you know, not even thinking twice about it. 2 days in a row, I just did it. That's one thing I learned about myself. Also learned I can go a very long time without any sustenance that people, like the Bible says, men should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I'm realizing that I don't need food to the extent that I did. That came as a result of doing 75 hard. In addition to that, also realizing that despite all the other distractions that go on, all these other things that go on, in addition to that, I went through. Not only did I read a bunch of books, in addition to that, on top of that, I did some serious self-help classes, man, as far as speaking courses, as far as speed reading, as far as a number of other things. Also finished Dr. Ingham's Soil Food Web course.
Yeah.
And moving on to the next level in that. So all of that happened under 75 hard because the program in and of itself, you know, after you've done some pretty rigorous stuff before, there's parts of it that aren't all that difficult to me.
Oh, right.
And so I kicked it up even more. What I've proven, tomorrow will mark 75 days. What I've proven, and I want to give a shout out to Andy Frisella out there. I'm not sure anybody's listening here that knows him, but I do want to give him a profound shout out because really it's been paradigm changing. I've been openly kidding about what I'm going to do on day 76. But honestly, I don't even feel the compulsion to really do it. I'm like joking about the shoe fly pie and all the, I might spend a day eating stuff like that, but I'm not going to eat a whole lot of it. I really don't think I am.
He's going to spend a day eating stuff like that and a week recovering from that day.
Well, I just am not driven anymore by food.
Yeah.
I really am not. I mean, I can sit here, everybody's eating all these goodies around me, and it doesn't even bother me anymore. So that's what I'm taking away from this 75 hard. I got myself in great shape. You know, I didn't do that video with my shirt off to demonstrate right. that reason. It was just really a byproduct of wanting to do. I was like, okay, I'm in good enough shape to be able to pull this video off. You know, I'm a little too lean there, according to your mom. But
well, of course, according to mom.
Yeah, she wants
mom
everybody.
Mom wants everybody fat.
Yeah, everybody but her.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to say that at the end of this thing, I would highly encourage everybody out there to do maybe your version of it, because I'm here to tell you.
No. I wouldn't recommend
not
that.
Not your version of it. I mean, to do it. But what I mean is, if you don't feel the program in and of itself is challenging enough, you can always kick it up. And that's what I did. And that's what I did. I mean, throwing a fasting regimen in there.
Well, it will get kicked up in the other phases that you do, because he adds things on as you go through the Live Hard program.
Which you've just begun.
Right. Like the phase two or phase one of part two, you add a 5-minute cold shower, which the first two suck, and then you get used to it. And then you add visualization and stuff like that. And then you also add 3 more tasks on your daily task list every day. It's really not. I think it's
it becomes
better,
a part of your life.
Yeah, it's not much of like sometimes like the workouts can be inconvenient, but that's the majority of it. Half the time we can pair a workout with something that has to be done on the farm.
Right.
Yeah, like I said, the cold shower sucked for the first 2 days, and then you just kind of get used to it.
That's where the outdoor workout is relatively easy for me, because I'm like, okay, I'm already outside. All right, so I'll go ahead and do that. But yeah, I went from, you know, Jack Spearco, he said he didn't think I needed to lose any weight at all. I went from basically 200 to 1 at my lowest, probably 165.
Yeah.
Probably hovering. I haven't jumped on a scale, but honestly, it wasn't even about that. It was like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do it honestly. And honestly, I have proven to myself that I do not have to be ruled by the fork, and I can operate at a high, high level on very, very little.
Now, on this phase, I will be going out of town for 3 days, like on a plane. I'm doing the consultation out in Arizona. So one of those days is packed with just flights. So I'm going to have to try to figure out how to do my indoor and outdoor workouts.
Do it in the airport.
I can do the indoor one. The outdoor one. But I'll figure it out is the point. These inconvenient things pop up during your 75 hard, and part of the program is that you still have to do it regardless of what happens in life.
Yeah, that's really it. So good times, bad times, whatever the case, you're arguing with somebody, whatever the case, you got to find your way through, and that is really... It's one thing in the military doing rigorous training where you got somebody basically standing over you, making sure you're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's entirely another when you're your own drill sergeant. So, folks, it wasn't my intent to go into that as deeply as we did. It really was not the intent at all, really, in any of this stuff, to be honest with you. But we just went where we felt led. And as far as some of the other stuff, as far as farm news and stuff like that, might as well keep on with it.
Well, yeah, if you need consultations, an in-person consultation, hit me up at permapasturesfarm@gmail.com. And if you need a phone consultation, hit up Eric Sider, which he's linked down below.
Yeah. So Eric, he might even be able to do an in-person thing if you're out in California or the area out there.
I asked him about that. I'll double check with him, or he'll leave a comment down below. I asked him about that. I don't know that he does them.
Well, yeah, just reach out to Eric and find out. You'd be shocked at what he can do remotely. A lot of people have said... A lot of people have come up to us at these festivals, and they're, like, blown away by it.
Yeah.
So other farm news that I didn't really get into, this fruit is off the meat wagon. I pulled a handful of blueberries out there, man, and it's just – it's even better. Like, we're going to go picking blueberries this weekend. It's going to be the last day we can actually do it, because we didn't produce enough here to put back for the necessary things like blueberry pies and stuff, like my favorite pie ever. So we don't have enough for that. So we got to get some blueberries, but even at the blueberry farms, it's not the same. I mean, when you're pulling them directly off and eating them right there, you know, there's no junk on them. It's as honest as it gets.
But also the ones at the farm taste as if they've been heavily irrigated.
Yeah.
Like they're, oh, they're watered down. They're not, they're like too big. And did you pull any of those raspberries down there?
Yeah, I did try. And those, like you said, those raspberries taste like Jolly Ranchers. But the reason is because of our soil management. I'm convinced of it. Is because we are, there's no fertilizer, no anything like that. And I think, just like Paul Gauci says, and I think even Stefan Subkowiak talks about it to a certain extent, that, and Dr. Elaine Ingham talks about it as well, where your flavor of all these things tastes totally different when you're completely reliant on your microbes to do your fertilization.
Yeah.
I really think that because blueberries,
I think so too.
Raspberries are always a little tart for me. I'm never a real
fan
of them. No.
These are like candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually blackberries, same way. Well, blackberries, I'm never, they always have that medicine-y flavor to me, except the ones I try from Danny and Wanda.
Those are the ones from Danny and Wanda, aren't they? Those raspberries?
No. No, we didn't get any raspberries or anything like that from them. We, those raspberries your mom got from somewhere. But those are good. The blueberries taste totally different. The fruit, I just ate one of them peaches, split it with your mom, one of the majestic peaches that came off. That tree ain't but 2 years old, and we're picking fat peaches off of there.
So one thing I noticed is that that peach tree has zero pests on it at all. The one that's right by the kitchen window, that one, the one looks like birds have been pecking at the peaches. And then another one, I don't know. I don't know if pests got there or what.
What's the difference? The soil management, that we actually found it by accident, hacking it out of the wilderness. And the soil around it is still not wonderful. Plus, last 2 years, 3 years actually, I've been coppicing that thing back, trying to start it over because it was so poorly structured. So I probably cut that, took more than I should. You should only take about a third. I took about a half of it off of there. And I'm trying to see, because I think there's two other things that are coming up off, because there's no... This thing was planted from seed. We don't even know what the
peach
it is.
Somebody ate a peach and then threw the pit out the kitchen window. But it is cool that there's like two different peaches that are right next to each other. Clearly, the pests like one. And then on the other one, it's like pest-free.
Well, what I think you're going to notice is that of all the stock coming up out of the ground, there's three of them. One of them's doing great. The other one's not so great.
Hmm.
So what I'm going to do this year, when winter rolls around, I'm going to get rid of the ones that ain't so great. We're going to we're going to nurture the one that is. So that's exactly, but my goodness, man, that other peach over here, not a single problem with it. Peaches, fantastic flavor. They're white peaches, big as softballs. And the other one over here, it's the best tasting peach I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
Juicy, doesn't keep very long, but hey, food's supposed to spoil.
Yeah, so, in case you forgot.
Yeah, in case you didn't know that, in case you're getting it from the grocery store. Yeah, you've really got a short shelf life on this stuff. But honestly, man, we've been, good night, man. I may jump into being a fruitarian for a little while. We got pears coming up. We got all kinds of fruit coming up.
Yeah, this is the second time you brought that up, Dad. What's going on with you eating all this doggone fruit? What's going on
here? I didn't eat much. I mean, I'm not knocking myself out of ketosis or nothing. I just ate half a peach. And
that's not where I'm going. Last episode, you were talking about you got done with all those scalar waves, and you're like, man, I need some fruit.
Yeah,
now you're talking about
some
more fruit.
Yeah, I don't know what happened on that fruit thing, but I tell you what, it ain't going to be no fruit cake. But anyway, speaking of that scalar wave, went back there. We're going to do it again coming up soon. Doing something of a chelation thing with EDTA. I'm doing it. I'm self-administering this stuff. I'll let everybody know how that works. And we were going out to go pick blueberries yesterday. Apparently got some bad signals. While we were out, told your mom, look, let's stop and get something to eat. She went and got sushi. Man, I ate this pad thai. Good night, man. That messed me up yesterday. Okay, man, this whole eating out thing, man, seems a whole lot better in the brochure, dude. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, it really depends.
Everything
depends
has not been the same since COVID.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I mean, it depends on, it really, really depends on where you're going. Before COVID, you could pretty much pick a place in Asheville, I think, and it was going to be good.
Yeah.
Now you just have to go to the right spots.
And then on the right day. I don't even know how most of them are staying in business when you're only operating 3 or 4 days out of the week.
Most of the time, 3 days out of the week. Yeah. I have no idea.
That one bakery, the Owl Bakery or whatever, man, it was like 3 days out of the week.
Yep. And the ordering system is so doggone weird. Like, you got to order days. Like, you have to know days ahead that you're going to want Owl Bakery.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a weird one. But they got good bread. Ain't as good as the stuff coming out of this house, though.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Coming up soon, Kentucky Sustainable Living, October 28th and 29th. You want to be there, be square. We're going to be there. And they're going to have a fundraiser for Vets for Child Rescue. It's in the form of a VIP dinner. And if you want to go there, the proceeds go to Veterans for Child Rescue. That's exactly, you know, now that we got this stuff hot on the minds of everybody else going on out there with that new movie, Sound of Freedom. Yeah. So everybody just stay tuned for all that. All right, we don't have a segment from Pastor Lon today. I mean, good night, man. I mean, the man needs a break every once in a while. So, So we, you know, our prayers and blessings always to Pastor Lon. Sure, he is up to his eyeballs as always. All right, so bad news, good news section. Homelessness in the U.S. at an all-time high. Now, this was written, strangely enough, by Martin Armstrong, the great Martin Armstrong, the guy who has predicted pretty much every crash with total precision since he's been born. That Martin Armstrong
came out the womb predicting.
The CIA illegally threw him. There's a documentary out there. I think it's called The Forecaster, and it's about him. And the CIA basically threw him in prison on some BS charges because he would not give up his system called Socrates, his computer system, his algorithms that basically predict how these things are going to unfold. And the amount of precision that he does, it's he and maybe one other person in the world that has their own proprietary systems that predict these things with unbelievable prediction.
Right.
And so he wrote this article. And so, you know, basically in a nutshell, he's saying $51 billion was used to combat the homeless crisis in 2022. And now when you look at the numbers, it's off the chart. I mean, like L.A., 65,000, New York, 61,000, Seattle, 13,000, San Jose, 10,000. And it goes on and on and on and on. And we're seeing tons of it around here. We're going to be into the fall before long, and then we're going to be in the winter. And then now you got the migrant crisis, what they want to call it. No, they're called illegals. They're not here legally. So, no, you're not a migrant. You're here illegally. So
super illegals because they cross multiple borders.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Why wouldn't you? When everybody in the United States of Amnesia, I don't blame those folks.
No.
I don't blame them at all. They're leaving what they think. And boy, some of them have got to be getting here. When they get up to Chicago, they're going to be like, hey, Holmes, send me back home, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get arrested and get deported.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people that are homeless, man, they do that through the winter, where they'll go do a petty crime and figure out what to put them in jail for 90 days. That way they get fed and a roof over their head.
Yeah.
So, look, y'all, we got issues. And like I said, that came down from Martin Armstrong. This isn't some Johnny come lately. And he's saying basically get your house in order. All right, so good news. American pop star, I ain't even heard of this clown before, Ne-Yo doubles down on opposition to transgender insanity.
Well, and then
you
apologizes.
Ever heard of this guy?
Yeah. Yeah, then he apologized too.
Well, it must have just happened as far as the apology. Well, anyway, this guy gets out there, just like so many of them, they come out and then they make a stance. The powers, you know, like Shakespeare said, they suffer the slings and arrows. And then all of a sudden they go right back. Oh, my bad. Whether it's a football player, basketball player. Yeah, whoever this clown is, okay, well, I was going to give him props, but they didn't bother mentioning in the article that he went the other way.
Well, it might not have happened whenever they written the article, but yeah, he made the statement, doubled down on it, and then got backlash, and then just ended up it was clearly a written apology.
Yeah, well, look, ain't no apologies here, and I'm going to keep talking about the USS Liberty. Do what you want with it. And the powers that shouldn't be that don't like it, well, yeah, I'll just leave it right there. All right, so other good news. Improve sleep quality to bolster your resilience to anxiety and depression. Now, I said all that on the heels of what I was just talking about. Right now, we got a homeless problem. It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. We got all this AI coming online. Well, what do you think that's going to do for a lot of the people working these particular jobs? A lot of the AI is going to replace a lot of us. So you might want to be thinking about places and jobs and things. They'll say, look, we'll start with universal basic income because you've been displaced. A machine that's taken over your job. But look, y'all, I got news for you. Just like World War I and I talked about before, the idea is to thin the herd, if you get what I'm saying.
I was at Walmart today just to further the point that people are A, unaware, and B, the AI is going to replace a lot of jobs. I was at Walmart, the one in Weaverville, earlier today, and they're doing a ton of construction, and they've kind of moved everything around. And I was looking for binders in there for our manuals for this soil food web class, and also some wrist wraps for deadlifts. And then I'm about to check out, and they have this whole one side of the registers like just X'd off. All of that stuff is being replaced, and all that stuff was the self-checkout. So I go to the 15 items or less lady. She's sitting there, and I said, man, what's going on in this Walmart? Because it seemed like all of it kind of happened overnight. She said, oh, it's going to be great. They're remodeling everything. Right behind her are double the amount of self-checkout lanes. Like, it's like she doesn't realize that they are building her replacement right now. And she was all happy and excited about all these renovations that Walmart is doing to the store. Meanwhile, they've just doubled their self-checkout lanes with these weird monitors overhead. I'm not even sure you have to check out anymore.
Well, that's part of, they're putting in the infrastructure almost certainly for what they foresee coming down. I'll give you a prime example. This show's not really going the way we expected, but I hope people don't mind. Okay. I used to be a maintenance electrician at Leavenworth VA in Leavenworth, Kansas. Mm-hmm. Now, they put in these telemetry systems at the time. I remember being, Building 71. If anybody's working over there. I remember going through, they had this tech company come through, and I had to provide the conduit for these guys to get out of these server rooms into the hallways. And I remember thinking, okay, I ain't never seen so many fiber wires in my life in a building. In that building, they had the IT people down below. And I knew what the capacity is. And I'm like, okay, they need sleeves through these concrete walls to be able to run a bunch of fiber optics. Now, if you know anything about fiber optics, man, I mean, it can carry a lot of information. Just look at the one coming to this house.
Yeah, that's small a tiny cable. Wire, and yeah. It takes care of everybody around here.
And it does it at lightning speed, right?
Yeah.
Now imagine in a building that already had all of the wire that it needed to handle all, I'm trying not to get technical here, folks, but I am telling you, a 3-inch sleeve almost filled to the brim with, and this is 10 years ago, filled to the brim with fiber optic wires. And I'm asking the technicians, what's all this for? He says, oh man, this is going to be for this futuristic telemetry they got going on. And I'm like, really, what's that all about? He's like, dude, every single thing that comes into this VA, all the way down to your pencil lead. This is the tech guy.
Oh, wow.
He is a contractor that's brought in there to put in this telemetry. He said every single thing is going to have an RFID chip on it. Man, it's the coolest thing in the world. So anybody that's stealing stuff or anybody that's doing this or anybody that's doing that, he said all the way down, every ink pen, every single thing will have an RFID. That was 10 years ago. And they were already doing telemetry. And trust me, the Leavenworth VA is awful.
Yeah. You remember that part of Kansas was the first place to get introduced to fiber optics. Remember, Google Fiber was the first one to come in.
Yeah, it was in Wyandotte County, I believe.
Yeah, they were the first ones to come in, and then they're the ones that it was like a testing ground or whatever for fiber optic cable.
But they were setting this thing way up to where this guy, he was describing this whole telemetry system that they would have. He says, well, these tiny little micro dots would be put on everything that comes in, everything the government pays for. And at all times, this system will know where everything is. He's sitting here thinking it's the coolest thing ever. And after I got all the information I wanted to extract out of him, I was like, then I started to ask critical questions like, hey, man, do you think that this could be easily misunderstood or easily abused or anything like that? Oh, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. And then, you know, all through the hospital, they were doing this with patients. Now, of course, they're going to say, well, we get some people in here that might wander, wind up here, there, whatever. Yeah, you could probably make a pretty good case for that.
Saying you're not a conspiracy theorist just means, oh, I don't question anything ever.
Yeah.
That's all exactly that statement means.
That's exactly what it means.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't even know how we got sideways on that one, but not even sure I read this last article, but hey, y'all, it do what it do, in the words of a ghetto philosopher. All right, so it improves sleep quality to bolster your resilience against anxiety and depression. I want to go back to that.
Okay.
So, that being said, and all the anxiety that we just created in this program, folks, I'm going to highly recommend, and this is something I do every single day, deep breathing. I either do box breathing or Wim Hof breathing. And I do it as often as I need throughout the day. I feel anxiety coming on. Find out what it is. It isn't hard to find. It isn't hard to do. It doesn't cost you a dime. But in light of all these things, I know a lot of people are not sleeping well these days. Right now, my sleep isn't wonderful because, well, for a number of reasons that I'm working on right now. Whether it's having to get up and pee because I drank too much water or whatever the case may be, folks, you gotta cool it down a little bit. I mean, that headline seems pretty self-evident. You know, improve sleep, obviously. But a lot of people aren't sleeping like they ought to.
Yeah.
And part of it is this anxiety. Am I going to have a work? Am I going to have a job? Is AI going to take over? Some people I know, hey, man, just got on my feet, man, and now I might be sitting on the unemployment line again.
Or, holy crap, I just woke up and find out all this is happening.
A lot of that's happening. Yeah, you better believe it. So what I'm trying to say is, despite all these things coming, you worrying about it doesn't make it change one bit. And I know that doesn't ease your anxiety, but honestly, things you can do, 75 hard, try it. Wim Hof breathing, try it. It eases up a lot of those anxieties that you may be suffering with right now. So I'm going to highly encourage everybody out there to get seriously busy on making yourself the best version that you can. And helping with that also is going to be my homeboy. His name is Eric Sider. You can check him out at Eric Sider on YouTube, and he's going to leave some contact information coming up next.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, make the least change for the greatest possible effect. This is a key principle in permaculture and really a critical way of thinking. Instead of forcing our desires onto the land, we must ask ourselves, what is this land best suited for? Because there's only so many working hours in a day. Time is fixed, but leverage is infinite. So if you want to get more done, you can't only think in terms of hours worked. As Joel Salatin says, productivity does not equal profits. It's always energy in to energy out. So we must leverage the resources around us. We can leverage people by building a team. We can leverage nature by choosing plants and animals, the species that are best suited to our climate and topography. And we can leverage energy by creating a mainframe design to direct these energies coming onto our site to their best possible use. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
But well, that also explains Jeff Lawton's method, like his approach to a food forest and his coffee trees. Absolutely. And stuff like that, where he could put in all this work and get 100% production off of all of his coffee trees, or he could just leave them alone and collect 50% of production, but that's not any work that he's had to put in on the coffee trees.
Right, so you're out there collecting.
It's a higher profit. Because it's zero energy input or very, very minimum energy input in the maintenance of the food forest or the planting of the coffee tree and 100% profit after that.
And it all comes down to what model works best for you. Like in my case,
right.
I love the whole, okay, I'm going to have to qualify this. I love a permaculture orchard. I love it, love it, love it. That's because I love doing the work. I don't find that is not laborious to me. That is not work to me. Right. There's really not anything I do on the farm that I consider work. I mean,
Dad
I love
goes
it.
Out and prunes to relax.
Yeah. I mean, I not only prune, but I'm out there. I just feel like I'm in some really awesome partnership. But it's all I can do in the food forest section that we got out there. It is all I can do to stay hands off because I'm wanting to do this. I'm wanting to do that. I'm doing the minimal right now. I'm still in that point where I'm trying to get this thing off and running, and it's doing pretty good on its own.
Yeah.
And it is the hardest thing in the world for me to pull myself out of it. But at the same time, I'm not doing any real work down there.
Yeah.
I'm just going to come in when the harvest, I mean, like you used the example with Jeff. Yeah, you can go in there and do a bunch of extra work, but then it just took you away from something else. And like he said, productivity doesn't mean profit.
Right.
And there's a whole lot of people that are very busy that don't necessarily pull anything out of it. So
there's a lot of people that are busy unnecessarily, sometimes just out of inefficiency.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really it in a nutshell, y'all. Hey, before we move on, I want to remind you that EMP Shield, you can get $50 off with promo code PERMA. So whether it's putting it on your vehicle or putting it on your house, remember, EMP Shield, yes, it is designed for EMPs, but more importantly, it's designed against your biggest threat, which is lightning. And that's why that was the number one reason I reached out to them. As a journeyman electrician, I've been doing this work a long, long time. I reached out to EMP Shield. They did not reach out to me. So remember, $50 off with promo code PERMA. Also, Harvest Right freeze dryers. They got a new model out there. You might want to check it out. It has a higher capacity and even more efficient than their previous one.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's called the Right Pro. So just don't forget to follow our link there. It helps us out a great deal, especially at that time when they are making us disappear all throughout there. So if you need a Harvest Right freeze dryer, be sure to use our link down below. All right. So with that said, y'all, we spent a whole lot of time on other. I had another entirely a different show planned, but I just felt led to go this way. And frankly, I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not anything. There's a lot of times when, you know, I talk about something that was not planned. And I know that there's other people out there that are feeling the same way, that are having the same thoughts, that are thinking the same things. I get the emails from some of my very awake friends out there, and I ain't talking woke, I'm saying awake.
Right.
And even they're floored that they just feel like they're like, at what point do people realize, hey, dude, I need to start putting some food back? Or at what point do they say, man, this whole thing's coming apart?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember having that conversation with Eric back in Texas.
Yeah.
Years ago. And so that's the beauty about permaculture, y'all, because it does overlay with all the other things out there. So you can produce enough for yourself. And honestly, some of that extra you got laying around, it can go to your animals and go to the people around you too. Maybe some of the ones you actually care about.
Yeah.
So in lieu of a main topic, I think we kind of covered a lot of that. We're going to go straight into the Q&A. So son, without further ado.
You want me to go?
Well, you can, or I can go ahead and go.
I'll go ahead. Go ahead and save that one email you got
I'll go ahead and put it out there.
He says, okay.
Well, this guy, Tony, I missed you apparently from August 9th, so I missed you. I've noticed the quality of hogs that you have is far better than the choices I've seen here in Oklahoma. Do you know anyone in my area that might have similar bloodlines to what you have there? Or how would you advise that I acquire some of the same quality hogs you have? Like Joel says, I'm not looking for any kind of breed. I'm really looking at phenotype.
Right.
I'm really wanting a pig that's going to work well in my environment. And frankly, I'm not sure what pigs are available out there in Oklahoma, but they ought to.
I would hit up the Texas boys. If you're in Oklahoma, I know they do pork. I wonder if they have like a hookup.
Sure, I didn't know that they did.
Oh, I thought they did.
I know they do cattle.
I thought they did pork, maybe not. But they would still probably know. So if you got into contact with them, I'm sure they would have like an answer for you as far as where to get it. It's closer than North Carolina for you.
Well, my Army buddy Craig, he might know, and then also Ryan. I'll see what I can find out. Excuse me. I grew up in Oklahoma, so or at least part of my life there. And, I'll look around, but really it's not the breed that we're looking after. I mean, it's really coming down to phenotypes. If anybody around you, some people kind of get caught up in that game, and I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, I'll eat any kind of pig for the most part.
Yep.
Preferably, and it all depends on what I'm trying to do with it. Now, in your case, if you're wanting to put back a whole lot of lard, well, maybe a whole lot of lard, you don't mind waiting. Maybe a guinea hog is what you want.
I would look around you, see if anybody is raising pigs the way you want to raise pigs, and then just see if they have any for sale. I would go that route.
Yeah, we've gone to Craigslist. I mean, right now, for a while there, man, we had to get some.
Yeah,
we had to get pigs that were that we had to stick in the barn and worm.
Yeah.
Before we could even get them to grow, and of those six pigs, we gave away three.
I thought it was four.
No, I think you're right. I think we did.
No. It was three. One died. Remember, one fell off.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, fell off. To this day, I don't even know what happened there.
Man, yeah, I don't know. I got one on the Fountain app from Andy Boley. Great show again, guys. Billy, I think you should record a Pimpin' History podcast. I love your take on things, and I think it would be great to share that show, even if it's once a month.
You know, that's not a bad idea. A lot of people have hit me up about that. And I could really do it right from the top of my head, but I'd like to do it a little bit of justice because a lot of this stuff I do have in my cabeza. I mean, I got it right there.
Well, write it down and do a show, Dad.
You know, and it's not going to be the history that everybody talks about. I mean, it's going to be some of the occulted history, like I talked about with World War One.
The pimpstery.
Yeah, I think I like that. You know, maybe I can cover that because the real truth of it is there is not one single conflagration that has ever happened, even the Revolutionary War. Charles Thompson, I'll just tell this real quick. He was basically the House recorder. He was a recorder. He was there from the beginning of the Revolution. He openly admitted that he had an entire book of how it really went down.
Mm.
And all the things that went down that we were told happened that didn't actually go down. And Charles Thompson recorded all this stuff. And he basically wrote that I will not undeceive the populace. That's exactly how he wrote it. And then threw his manuscript in the fire.
What?
So we don't know the full extent, but a lot of it came out. There's another documentary if anybody's interested. This is like the Cliff Notes version of it, but it's called The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things you don't know. There's also another one by Dr. Tom Horn that is unimpeachable, and the name of that escapes me right now regarding our history and even the Founding Fathers. There's a lot you don't know, folks.
It makes you rethink some things about like this being built as a Christian nation and all kinds of things. It makes you question even stuff like that.
Well, I'll put it this way. Thomas Jefferson, who for the longest time I've been a big fan of, Ben Franklin, was once upon a time my favorite founding father. He was mixed up with the Hellfire Club. You look at what Thomas Jefferson said, and it was called the most approved plan when they were building D.C. And Thomas Jefferson openly, it's right there in the archives. I mean, anybody can go see it. The most approved plan was basically he wanted something set up that was a mimic of the Roman pantheon of the gods. Well, look at what we got there in D.C.
Yeah.
Look around there. You got the Parthenon, you got the Pantheon, you got our version of all of that right there in D.C. You have the obelisk, and what's on the other side of it?
The dome.
And what does that signify? The Osiris rising. I mean, this is all stuff that's happening in our
They're
American...
still worshiping the same little g gods.
Yes, and a lot of people do not know that about our American history, that there's a lot of weird, crazy stuff back there, and I'm reluctant to talk about it. Because honestly, it's like I can't even get people to see there's a lot of occulted history that I believe to be true. And I think in many ways we can prove that it was true.
There are chemtrails every single day.
Bam.
And we can't get people to realize that they are spraying something. That's something you can look up, see. Oh, they sprayed something. 30 minutes later, now it's hazy and cloudy. They can't understand that part. So getting them to understand, the Founding Fathers, depending on which party you're even talking to, the Founding Fathers were good or bad guys, but yeah.
Right, but nobody even, you can't even breach that topic. And then everybody thinks Lincoln was a great guy. He was not.
Easier to breach.
There at the Lincoln Monument, for crying out loud, dude. And I got to sit here, you read books like The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. I sent it off to Joel Salatin for him to go check it out. I'm sure he read it. This is Lincoln in his own words.
You're trying to get him in trouble again.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but this is Lincoln in his own words. He was not a wonderful guy.
No.
And all these people that they've been touted throughout history that we were told were wonderful people, in actuality, they really weren't. Man, we've gone so sideways on so much of this podcast.
That one Cassius Clay dude, he argued with Lincoln forever about freeing the slaves immediately. Like there was a guy, he was named Cassius Clay, and apparently he was out like actively freeing slaves and stuff. And then he became part of the North or something like that, went up to Lincoln and was arguing like he wouldn't do something for Lincoln unless he immediately freed the slaves. And Lincoln was like, nah, I don't think so.
Man, the Emancipation Proclamation only did it in the North. I mean,
yeah.
It freed them there. But honestly, if you check out the work of people like John Taylor Gatto and then some of the others I've cited a little while ago, the list is long. I mean, other things like simple that are easy to prove, like fossil fuel. Okay, son? Okay, check out.
There isn't any fossil fuel.
Yeah, there is no such thing as fossil fuel. There's never been a fossil found below 26,000 feet in any form. And they routinely drill far below that. Check out Colonel Fletcher Prouty. He was the guy in JFK's, in the movie JFK that was played by Donald Sutherland. The real life guy was his name. His name was Colonel Fletcher Prouty. I mean, wicked smart. Understood history in a way like most people didn't. They're calling this stuff fossil fuel when it's abiotic. The earth it's the second most productive liquid or prevalent liquid on the planet.
Second to
water.
Exactly. So, and then that whole we're running out of water thing as well. That's a lie too.
We're running out of water. We're running out of fossil fuel. And he even gives chapter and verse of how and when it began. And of course, all funded by the Rockefellers. And then later on, Kissinger and the rest of them, they go espouse this nonsense because, once again, you can rob and kill a man once, but you can steal from him again and again. They know that they can stick that, you know, how is it they run a well dry, come back 10 years later, and it's completely full again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the earth produces this stuff. But I got to sit here and argue people over basic stuff that I know I can prove. Like you said, the things that you can openly see. People still believe there's some prominent YouTube channels out there still going on with the 9/11 myth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there are. I mean, yeah, that's what makes it so hard to bring up the fact that the founding fathers may have been Satanists. It's hard to go that route.
Well, we're kicking on some sacred cows here, man. All right, so we better move on.
Yeah, I got one from Ike Jones. Friendly FYI, first time fasting or drinking snake juice, stay close to the bathroom. It will clean out junk rapidly. Don't be alarmed if you have lots of matches. And of course, feel free to consult one of the local drug dealer doctors who have killed more people than both World Wars combined, if it's okay to use.
Bam! That's my man Ike right there. I'm gonna put a beating on that pie come Saturday, too. Ike hooked me up with those shoot fly pies and a scrapple.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's absolutely right. I mean, when you look at these MDs, once again, y'all, does not mean medical deity. And there are some good ones out there, but by and large, I've seen more examples of lousy doctors than good ones.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm seeking, that's why I'm encouraging everybody right now to really find a way to become your own doctor, like Dr. Wallach teaches in that Let's Play Doctor book that he has. And there's a lot of this stuff that through prevention, through fasting, through a number of other healing modalities that maybe we can avoid even going around these people, because 9 times out of 10, MDs are going to say, most of them anyway, unless they're functional medical people, they're going to say, oh, yeah, take these pills. You got high blood pressure. Let's not figure out why.
Yeah.
Oh, it's genetic. Oh, really?
Meaning like your body is just a failure.
Yeah. Yeah, like okay, well, find me the... Yeah, man, I'm not even going to go down that road.
I got one from Mirlin on the Fountain app. Great episode as always. I heard your old intro song at Lowe's the other day and had a little freak out moment. I never heard it outside your podcast. That rooster crowing always grabs my attention. Hashtag tip of pimp.
That's why we had to bring it back. So we got it again.
Man. Yeah. Now on to the YouTube channel. Permaculture Pimpcast. Love this. This is the episode 9 to 5 to homesteading full time, episode 78. That was way back. Got one from Valerie Hebert. Love this. I have scripture on my wall right over the door we used to, so every time we walk out, we are refreshed. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15.
We got that same thing framed down there. It came from Shelly up for your wedding anniversary.
Yep.
Or wedding day. We will serve the me and my house, we will serve the Lord in good food.
Yep. That came from Shelly from twooldcrows.com.
Bam.
Got one from Flomaton Famous. Great interview. Another awesome family. That's from the people, yeah, the Texas Boys interview. And then
you gotta get
one.
Him on there at Flomaton Famous, man. I think of him every single time I look at that tree.
Oh yeah, that's
the one he grafted in that video. It's literally right outside that window.
Yeah,
and it's doing great.
Yeah. I got one from Mark Christie Nichols. OMG, I love the new opening of the Spotify podcast. Got my Gap Band back. Love what you did, Billy, and William's new title is hilarious. You nailed it. Pimp Daddy Billy, hashtag tip a pimp. Thank you for your service. Hashtag permaculture, hashtag pimping ain't easy. Love y'all. Christy in Missouri, met in Hannibal 2022.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Christy. And I tell you what, I'm going to be elevating a pimp hand the next time I'm in one of these. Okay, I'm not going dark again. I was literally thinking of something that just happened, but it's of no consequence at this point.
Gotcha.
Well, hey, y'all, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating if you can out there. And if there's anything in particular you want us to cover, just definitely reach out. We'll see what we can do. What else you got?
It seems like everybody was glad the Gap Band is back. That's for
that's what I'm talking
sure.
about. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of our anthem for this show. So I wish we would have found a way to do it before, but hey, we finally got back there and I couldn't be happier about it.
And last one from Vicky Duggan. I have started dehydrating zucchini and I find it a delicious snack. It's stifling my craving for potato chips.
Oh, wow.
That might not be a bad idea.
I never thought about doing that. Man, I never.
Throw some of Miss Slippy seasoning on there and dehydrate it.
I don't know. I've done that before, man. Them things was hard as 3x9, man, when I did them.
With the zucchini?
Yeah, maybe I made them too thick. Yeah, those things, boy, it was like biting in a glass, the ones I did back in Kansas.
Huh.
Yeah, that's the problem with zucchini. So much of it going on. But hey, y'all, thank you so much for your support. And we thank you. We pray for you. Pray for us. And Lord, and also pray that, you know, the heavy hand of whatever's going on out there, that is lifted on all of us that are out there trying to drop the real truth. And if anybody wants to hear any more, if this historical stuff I'm bringing up, I know it's not within the theme of this show, but if you find any of it interesting, let me know. Till next time, this is Billy and William from Perma Pastures Farm, the permaculture pimp daddy and the pasture-raised pimp, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. Entirely too many P's there. All right, y'all. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. Like a cell, they want to spin up, but the center of the next is me. Yeah, yeah.